You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk with practice owner Dr. Haley Mueller about her experiences utilizing the licensed technicians in her practice to their fullest potential. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2025 by Care Credit. Dr. Mueller grew up in Overbrook, Kansas, where she was active in 4-H throughout her youth. After earning a bachelor's degree in animal sciences and industry, with minors in entrepreneurship and biology from Kansas State University in 2014, she entered veterinary school at KSU and graduated in 2018. She began her career as an associate at a mixed animal practice in southeast Kansas after graduation, and after 2 years formed her own ambulatory mixed animal practice. The practice has a new building in progress, hopefully finished in 2026, where she and her team will see all species. When she's not working, Dr. Mueller enjoys hiking and kayaking, gardening, running, shotgun sports, and fostering and adopting sighthounds. Welcome, Dr. Mueller. It's great to have you with us today.
It's great to be here today.
So you have told me about your passion about veterinary technicians being utilized to their full potential. Tell us how you brought this to life with your practice team.
Absolutely. So it actually kind of goes back to a little bit of my own history and my path in vet med to get to where I am as a practice owner. So I feel to do it justice, I kind of have to start there. I always knew that I wanted to be a veterinarian, and I started out at a practice, as most of us do, as a child, basically, cleaning kennels and, you know, getting paid and snacks and, you know, money under the table. Let's be honest, that happens quite often. But I started out there, and I realized at that practice how every person of that team mattered, even me. And those practice owners did a good job of letting me know that I mattered and what I did mattered to their practice. So I think that was kind of the start of me understanding the value of a team and how important a team is. Fast forward quite a few years where I get into and make it through and graduate veterinary school. I started out as an associate, as you mentioned, in a mixed animal practice. And that practice was a good first experience for me, where I had some freedom to hire team members, to help train team members. And I realized that educating staff was really something that I enjoyed and I got better at as I did more and more of. As I moved away from that practice and decided I wanted to start my own, while I was starting my own, and actually kind of right before COVID hit, I was approached by several people to take a teaching position at a veterinary technician program for a community college that's local. And I thought that I was not qualified. I thought that I was a new vet that, you know, didn't need to be teaching technicians. And after some convincing from a technician that I had worked with that graduated from that program, she convinced me that I was in fact qualified because of how I worked with her in that first job at that mixed animal practice. And the program really needed instructors. They were at risk of closing. And that was something I didn't want to see go away, because I understood how important technicians and assistants and even kennel help are to practices. So I decided that I would take a leap of faith and take the job. So I took the job teaching at the community college while I was starting my practice. And I went through all of my vet school notes as I was teaching, and it was excellent review for me. It made me a better doctor. To be able to explain how to teach things is different than just learning how to do things. It's a whole new level. And so I really enjoyed that. And I think, honestly, that strengthened me in many ways. So teaching those students who were so passionate about becoming veterinary technicians and understanding what their jobs are and understanding their support in the practice really made me pretty fired up about it. So fast forward through that, my first employee was one of my students. And I'll never forget the day she walked into the office at the community college, and I was in the office not very frequently. So I know she had to expend some effort to catch me because oftentimes I was out in the truck, doing my practice work. So I know that she planned and she caught me in the office and she asked me for a job. And I didn't show it to her, but I was terrified. Because at that point, I had started my own practice and, done my own sweat equity, had been a one-man band. And I knew that I was going to hire someone at some point, but I didn't feel ready. But I knew that she was the right person because I worked with her as a student and I saw her skills, her capability, her passion. And I knew that I needed her and I knew that I just had to find a way to make it work. And so that was my first employee. And the hiring time, I feel like as a practice owner, you never feel truly ready for the next step, I would say. But that was probably one of the best business decisions I ever made, was hiring her as she graduated. And when she passed her boards right after graduation, became a licensed technician. She increased my efficiency. She improved my quality of life. She just made life so much better. And the friendship and relationship that her and I have is one of my strongest. So that was a great start and a great first experience at having a technician and understanding what they can do for you, not only as a practice owner, as a veterinarian, but as a person too.
Is she still with you?
Absolutely.
Yes. All right.
Yep. She still is. In fact, I'm sure she likes to creep on me even on her days off. She will log in and she'll see what's going on. She knows I'm doing this podcast, so I'm sure she'll be one of the first ones to listen to it as well.
That's great.
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
You recently attended your Decade One group's fall meeting in Montana, and you left your practice in your technician's capable hands. What did that look like? How did you do that?
Yeah. So utilizing my technicians is something that I have had to kind of grow into myself. And I love teaching other people how to utilize them or how to grow into that. There's a certain level of trust and honestly, a certain level of pride that you kind of have to let go as the doctor. This idea that you have to be in charge of everything all the time, it gets exhausting. And so letting that go and letting these licensed, credentialed people do their jobs not only helps you, but it satisfies them. And so when I leave, especially as the only doctor, I have 2 options. Either hire a relief veterinarian, rely on my technicians and do some telehealth when possible, or just straight up close. And financially, closing and the relief veterinarian is not feasible for me, especially as a new practice and starting a construction and paying for everything as much cash flow as I can. Those 2 just don't financially make sense. The one that makes the most sense and makes everyone happy is fully utilizing my team. And so my technicians will do things that they are trained to do. And I have 2 of them now that are both full time. And then I have a veterinary assistant. And so when I'm gone, the technicians will go out in the truck and do appointments such as blood draws, radiographs, suture removals, anything that is a issue that has been visited before that is a recheck, for example, on the small animal side, allergy shots, heartworm tests. On the equine side, blood draws to recheck levels for PPID or EMS. suture removals, radiographs. There's just so much that these people are so capable of doing that us as veterinarians, we just have to learn to let go of that controlling personality that a lot of us have, which is difficult to do. But I have found that my clients love them. In fact, we did a euthanasia just a couple of days ago. And at the euthanasia, one of my clients gave one of my technicians, Katie, the first technician, she's getting married here shortly. And they gave her a card for her wedding with a gift card in it at a euthanasia for their dog. And these people are giving her a card for her wedding, you know, and it was one of those things that it was such a neat moment for her and for me because, you know, I wasn't the center of attention and I was okay with that. You know, the card said Katie on it. It was to her. It wasn't, you know, to me or even to the team. It was to her for her wedding. And these people trust and think enough of her to give her that card, you know, for her wedding that's coming up in a month. And I thought that was just so neat that they, you know, think of her and trust her and appreciate her enough that they wanted to do something for her wedding. And that was really cool. So, you know, having the ability to build your team up and tell clients, this is a licensed or credentialed individual. They are qualified to do their job and they have my full trust. And, you know, they're going to do this appointment and they will do an excellent job. And if it's something that needs, you know, surgery, a diagnosis or a prescription, that is me. But if it is something that is patient care or a recheck or, you know, something that is just a simple injection, that's them. And they know some of the animals just as well, if not better than I do. So some of it is client training, but just for the technicians to do their job and have that satisfaction, it increases not only your practice morale, but your practice revenue and your efficiency. So I can have my assistant ride in a truck with a technician while I'm in the office doing this podcast, which is exactly what's happening. And so the clients are happy because they get serviced and I'm in an underserved area. And so they don't just get told no, things still get done. And I get a little bit more quality of life and practice finances continue to do well, even when I have other things that I have to do.
Yeah. You know, it just relieves so much pressure when you were saying how sort of loosening the reins of needing to sort of control everything. That has its own pressure on it. And when you actually have a team that you don't have to do everything, what a difference that makes. And I'm sure it also has amazing effects. You know, you're trusting and you're supporting and communicating to clients about how much you value your practice team. That's gotta make them really engaged. It's gotta be amazing. So tell me about how it has changed them. And also, I'm also curious about like how you compensate them as they've become more and more an integral part of your practice.
Absolutely. So, my practice model right now is a little unique. I actually don't have a practice manager at the time. And so everyone, when we had some employment, and staffing changes, everyone really stepped up and they were already feeling, you know, like empowered that they could do things and that they were a part of the team and that they really wanted to help. And so when some changes happened, they all kind of took the areas that they were interested in. And for example, one of the technicians does all of the nutrition and like food ordering and dealing with things along that lines, prescription diets, diet recommendations, orders for, you know, food for the clinic. She does all of that. Another one does all of the controlled substance logs, oversees all of that. And I sign off on them, but she is the one that, you know, you don't touch that bottle without her knowing. she is on top of it. And so they each had their areas that they kind of like took over. And I think the reason why things continue to do so well as we're growing and having growing pains is because they know that I trust them and that they're empowered. So when they all stepped up and took over these different roles, as things continue to have explosive growth, I give them all bonuses pretty much instantly. because I wanted them to know not only are they appreciated by telling them I appreciate them, but financially. And I don't remember where I heard it. It was at a conference somewhere, but someone once told me that they don't do Christmas bonuses because they're expected. They do random bonuses because they like to give their employees the money when they need it. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I've got an employee that's trying to buy a new car. I've got an employee that's getting married. And so a couple months ago, it wasn't Christmas. It wasn't anything in particular. It was everybody had stepped up and done their jobs. And so everybody got bonuses. I also do options as far as what they want to do. For example, as employees have been with me for a while, I do offer benefits like a 401k with a match, even for my technicians, obviously, because I'm the only vet. So, you know, offering benefits to them that set them up for success long term. And, you know, starting out as a practice owner, sometimes financially it can be hard, but I've found that if you reward them, you in turn will get rewarded as well. And sometimes you do have to make some sacrifices, but my quality of life has improved so much as I have built the team of my dreams, really.
Yeah. And I'll bet that they feel really secure in their positions and that they're enjoying working because you trust them. And it is a team atmosphere where they, like you said early on in this podcast, they know how much they matter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's so amazing. Important is that, I mean, I have to tell them, like, on your days off, don't log in, don't look at the stuff, take time off. And, you know, like, we kind of joke about, oh, who's creeping on Neo now? We use IDEX Neo for our practice management software. And you can see if someone else has it open because it warns you that someone else has the consult open. And so I'll see that, you know, my technicians on their days off and even the vet assistant, you know, they'll log in and they'll look at the notes because they want to know what's going on. And to have people that are that excited and that invested is good. But I also remind them, you know, that taking time off is okay. And everybody needs that as well.
Absolutely. And I'm sure as a leader, you're modeling that so that they feel like that's a part of the culture of the practice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So important. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today about this this topic that you're passionate about?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, I probably have more. No, I really do enjoy it. And I think that, you know, a lot of people worry about finding employees and keeping employees. And a lot of the, you know, Facebook groups or chats or even, you know, veterinary associations that I attend, the common topic that I hear complaints about oftentimes is finding good help and keeping good help. And I think a part of what has basically made people fall into my lap or beg for jobs is because of the culture that I've built and how I treat them. And I'm lucky because I started it from the ground up and I got to build it how I wanted. If you're going into another practice, I could see where changing the culture, you know, would be very difficult. But I would say it's possible and it starts with you and it starts with, as a veterinarian, saying, you know what, I don't have to do every blood draw. I don't have to do every allergy injection. I don't have to do, you know, all of these things that we tax ourselves with. And so kind of freeing yourself from that and, you know, trusting your people makes them want to do more. They want to learn more. They want to show up. They have a higher retention because they enjoy what they do and they get to, you know, talk to clients and they get to have their time one-on-one with clients too and build those relationships. And I think that's what keeps them. And I think that's what attracts them. Looking back now, I almost wish I would have asked one of them to come on and talk with us.
Right. Actually, that would have been a great idea now that we're talking about it. Yeah. So it seems like what people really want in their work is often some ability to make their own decisions, not to sort of feel like they have to ask permission all the time or ask a question. So having that little, you know, like giving, feeding out the line of authority to make decisions. And of course you keep, you know, there's accountability, but so that they have autonomy and they feel like, I mean, like a grown up and in their job, like it makes such a difference in people's self-esteem about what they're doing, that they matter, what they're, you know, it's fabulous what you've done. And
absolutely. Yeah. No one wants to be micromanaged, I would say.
No one wants to be.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves is like micromanaging. Yeah. And so for them to have that freedom to do that. And, you know, not everything is rainbows and butterflies. Mistakes will be made and things will happen. And I guess that's another thing that comes to mind is part of that whole process for me has been standing behind my team. And, you know, things happen. And there are times where, you know, maybe a mistake was made, but as long as we are honest about it and we own up to it, I will help them through whatever it might be. If it involves a client, oftentimes it's both me and them speaking with the client about whatever may have happened or gotten missed, you know, like a charge was missed and we really need to add that on, or, you know, whatever it might be, supporting them through not only the good, but the difficult times, I think is worth mentioning.
Absolutely. So many things. And gosh, we've covered a lot. And I just love that you've created this. And I think your early experience that you told us about, where even when you were cleaning cages and being paid in snacks, you felt like you mattered. And so that fundamental thing is one of the things that I think is a really take-home message here. That everyone feels like they matter. It's fabulous. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Mueller. Your courage in embracing change is really inspiring, and I hope some of our listeners will take that home and loosen the reins a little and get behind their people, because it's a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And if any listeners want to reach out to me, I love talking about this, if you can't tell. So I'm happy to share my email. And if anyone has any questions about utilization or situations they want to bounce ideas back and forth about, I'm always happy to talk to colleagues about that.
Sounds great. I'll share your email in the write-up of the podcast. That's wonderful. To all of my listeners out there, our listeners out there, thank you for listening today to the Business of Practice podcast, and a big thanks to our sponsor, Care Credit. To all my listeners out there, be brave, embrace change.